Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're going to begin the Bible School this morning with a Bible question. Now, here's a chance for you to check your own Bible knowledge. I just got one question for you, and I'll be giving you the answer in just a moment. But this is the question. You will remember that when Paul was on that ship going to Rome, that they came into a storm, and they were shipwrecked. But no one lost their lives. Paul said earlier that God had showed him that there would be no loss of life, but only that of the ship. Now, here is the question. How many people were on that ship? How many souls made it from the ship to the island? The answer to that is found in Acts chapter 27. And if you know that answer, then you are a good Bible student. And I'll be giving you that answer in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And today we're looking at a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of December the 5th, 1925. And we're going to read about the shipwreck and how those souls that were saved, that did not lose their lives, how they came safely ashore. Now let me read to you from the text, and you'll hear the answer to the question, how many souls were saved? Acts chapter 27, beginning in verse 33. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take some food, saying, "This day is the 14th day that you wait and continue fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I beseech you to take some food, for this is for your safety. And there shall not a hair perish from the head of any of you." And when he had said this, and had taken bread, he gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he brake it and began to eat. Then they were all of good cheer, and themselves also took food, and we were all in the ship 216 souls. Now you got the answer? 216 souls. That's the way it's put in the American Standard Version. Now a score is 20, so 60 plus 16 is 76. That is 276 people were saved, not the loss of one life from that shipwreck, just as Paul had said. Elam in his notes said, while anchored and waiting for the day, Paul exhorted all to eat and relieve them as much as possible of further anxiety. It was necessary for their safety to take food. They needed the strength that it would give them to escape from the ship and to endure the cold and the rain. Paul assured them that not a hair would perish from the head of any. Then Paul gave thanks to God in the presence of all for the food and began to eat. When all, following his example, ate and were of good cheer, Paul was the most composed man on board. He had been in 3 shipwrecks and a night and a day in the deep before this for Christ's sake, that according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 25, in all there were 276 persons on board. The number was given to show that none were lost. Before this, they had lighted the ship by throwing out some of the freight and the furniture, but now, that it might not float so deep in the water, and therefore be less liable to run upon rocks, the wheat was thrown out. Let me begin reading in verse 37, and I'll go down to verse 39. It says, "And we were all in the ship, 260 souls." That's verse 37. 38. "And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they perceived a certain bay with a beach, and they took counsel whether they could drive the ship upon it." Well, the day for which they had wished, according to verse 29, remember how they had cast forth anchors and wished for day? The day came on, but they knew not to what land they had been driven. But discovering a certain bay with a beach, they all decided to try to drive the ship into it. This was the only place they could land, and this could be done only by steering the ship between the rocks. Let me read Acts chapter 27, verses 40 through 44. "And casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea, and at the same time loosing the bands of the rudders and hoisting up the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But lighting upon a certain place where two seas met, they ran the vessel aground, and the foreship struck and remained unmovable. But the stern began to break up by the violence of the waves, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, desiring to save Paul, stayed them from their purpose, and commanded that they who could swim should cast themselves overboard and get first to the land, and the rest, some on planks, and some on other things from the ship. And so it came to pass, they all escaped to the land, assured that the ship would be wrecked. They had no further use for the anchors, and to rid the ship of as much weight as possible, they cut them loose and left them in the sea. The rudders were fastened, and hence they loosed the bands of the rudders, for they would need the rudders to guide the ship. And hoisting up the foresail, in order to move the ship forward, they made for the beach. Remember, Paul during the night said that unless the sailors should abide in the ship, none would be saved. These sailors are now needed, we see, to run the ship as near the shore as possible. And they came where two seas met." That's where two currents coming from opposite directions had left a deposit of sand and mud. In this, the ship ran aground, plowing so deep into the sand that its prow remained unmovable, while the stern began to be broken in pieces by the violence of these waves beating upon it from opposite directions. The soldiers advised to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. To save Paul, the centurion forbade this, and commanded that they, the soldiers, who could swim, should cast themselves overboard and get first to the land. These soldiers reached the land first, and would be there to guard the prisoners as soon as they should arrive. After the soldiers reached the shore, all the rest, as they could, some on planks and some on other things from the ship, made their escape, and all were saved, as God had promised. God gave to Paul the lives of all on the ship. Acts 27:34. We should be glad to know then if any of these became Christians, and we cannot see why all should not have done so. Having escaped, they knew the island was called Melita. That island is called Malta now. That's the end of that Sunday school lesson. I turned the page, and there's another Sunday school lesson ready for us. It was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of December the 13th, 1925. It is Paul in Melita and Rome. And we read about this in Acts chapter 28. And that's the last chapter in the book of Acts. And I'm going to read that chapter now. It says, "And when we were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita. And some of the barbarians showed us no common kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us all because of the present rain and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out by reason of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped from the sea, yet justice hath not suffered to live. Howbeit he shook off the creature into the fire, and took no harm. But they expected that he would have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But when they were long in expectation, and beheld nothing amiss, and nothing amiss came to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." Acts chapter 28 and verse 7. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us 3 days courteously. And it was so that the father of Publius lay sick of fever and dysentery, unto whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. And when this was done, the rest also that had diseases in the islands came, and they were cured, who also honored us with many honors. And when we sailed, they put on board such things as we needed. Acts 28 and verse 11. And after 3 months we set sail in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the island, whose sign was the twin brothers. And touching at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days, and from thence we made a circuit, and arrived at Regulum. And after 1 day a south wind sprang up, and on the second day we came to Petuliae, where we found brethren, and were entreated to tarry with them 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And from thence the brethren, when they heard of us, came to meet us so far as the market of Appius and the 3 taverns, whom when they saw Paul, he thanked God and took courage. Acts chapter 28 and verse 16. And when we entered into Rome, Paul was suffered to abide by himself with the soldier that guarded him. And it came to pass, after 3 days he called together those that were the chief of the Jews. And when they were come together, he said unto them, "I, brethren, though I had done nothing against the people or the customs of our fathers, yet was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, desired to set me at liberty, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught whereof to accuse my nation. For this cause, therefore, did I entreat you to seek and to speak with me, for because of the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." And they said unto him, "We neither received letters from Judea concerning thee, nor did any of the brethren come hither and report or speak any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, it is known to us that everywhere it is spoken against." And when they had appointed him a day, they came unto him to his lodging in great number, to whom he expounded the matter, testifying of the kingdom of God and persuading them concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning until evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. And they that agreed, they among themselves, agreed not among themselves, and departed after that Paul had spoken one word. "Well spake the Holy Spirit through Isaiah the prophet unto your father, saying, Go unto this people and say, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall in no wise understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest happily they should perceive with their eyes.